And immediately, verse 9, the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. Here's a fella, for 38 years, he's been sick. For 38 years, he's been in having problems and difficulties in his life. And those things are very difficult to deal with. Oh, I just hit the wrong button and got the songs up there. Sorry about that, Ken. But he's been sick for 38 years. He's looking to be healed. He wants that. And you know, sometimes these difficulties that we have to face and the troubles that we have to face and the difficulties that we have in our lives are just horrendous. Could you imagine 38 years not being able to get around very much, having to depend on someone else to carry you wherever you needed to go and help you in every way? Life's got problems, hasn't it? Anybody in here got problems in their life? Okay. The rest of you that didn't raise your hand, we know you're not telling the truth. Because we've all got them. There's times that we're on the mountains. There's times that we're down in the valleys of despair. There's times when you're on the mountain and everything's going good and everything's great. And you know, you don't have, it seems you don't have any problems. And then all of a sudden, you turn around and you're in the valley there. You're in the valley where there's not any light. Remember Psalms 23? Yea, though I walk through the what? Valley of the shadow of death. Well, this is the same kind of valley here. The valley of the shadow of death. Here I am in the midst of this trouble. Here I am in the midst of these problems and trying to deal with those things. I'd love to be on the mountaintop all the time. Have you seen people that it seemed as though they were always on the mountaintop? That they never had a problem? They may be able just to cover them up better than you are. They've got the problems. They've got the difficulties. You know, a lot of people look at the movie stars with all their money and all the wealth that they have and think, oh, you know, if I had all that, I'd just be the happiest person in the world. Why are those people committing suicide? Why are they taking millions of dollars and going through them just like they were $3 or $4 to us? They're just gone. I thought they had all this. I thought all this was the great thing, that they were on the mountain. They were on the top there. The problem is that there's difficulties in life that we have to face. And sometimes we think we're up when we're really down. And sometimes when we're down, we think we're really up. So what we have to do is to come back and look at what the Lord has to say and hopefully understand that. And somehow work out, get a bridge that will get us either out of that valley or help us to be able to go over some of those valleys and deal with some of those things in our life. That's a very difficult thing to do sometimes. But we've got to learn how to do that. Now, valleys are great things. Valleys sometimes are good things, but sometimes valleys are not. I know I've talked to some people who lived in Texas, and they would talk about the valleys, some of the places out there, and it would rain, and all of a sudden the valley would just be a torrent of water. And these people would be in trouble, in difficulties. So we kind of relegate that to problems and difficulties. And so what we want to look at today is some of these things. And here's this fellow that's facing all these things. He's in the midst of this. And Jesus is coming to him, and Jesus is there. He knows what it is. And here's these pools that are there. I got to get this thing out of here. I'm afraid I'll get my pump for insulin, and I'll shoot myself up here. This is the artist's description or what they think that this looked like. I don't know if that's exactly what it looked like, but here's the paralytic man. Here's somebody that got in before him, and he's not able to get in there and be healed. Now, somebody says, was it really true that they had a place, a pool like that, that the angels came in and healed them? I don't know. That may have been what they said. It may have been true. I don't know. But many people felt it was that way. There were a lot of people gathered there, hoping beyond hope that they could be the people that could step in there, and then they would be healed. And they wouldn't have to worry about this. They wouldn't have to worry about begging. They wouldn't have to worry about all these things that they've got to deal with in their life. But we got to understand that sometimes those difficulties and those problems that we have to deal with are the things that give us our greatest strength. Paul said, when I think I'm the strongest, that's when I'm the weakest. When I feel that I'm the weakest, that's when I'm the strongest. That's when I have my power. You see, we think power and strength comes when everything's going good. But our great trust in God is not built on those good times, basically. It's built on the times when we are hurting so bad, we don't know which way to go. And here we have God that helps us to see. And we trust in Him. We've mentioned we pray more in hospitals. Many people prayed more the last couple of weeks. When you see a storm coming like that, you're going to pray, aren't you? You might not go to church, but you're going to pray. Why? Because we know we need God's help. We see that, and we understand that, so we're calling for that. Jesus asked this fellow a question in verse 6 that sometimes we've considered very strange. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be able to walk? Do you want to be able to get around? Do you want to be healed? Sometimes we say, that's a strange question. But I want to tell you something. Some people like to be sick. Do you know that? I've seen people that if they weren't sick, they wouldn't have a thing in the world to talk about. How are you doing today? Oh, you just don't know the pain I've got. Oh, I hurt so bad. Oh, it's terrible. And you think, have you never had a good day in your life? They enjoy that. Now, here's Jesus. Okay, Jesus is going to heal this fella. All right? 38 years, he's been laying around. People have been giving him food, helping him out. Okay, he is healed on the Sabbath day. What does he do Monday morning? Or Sabbath day, Sunday morning? What does he do? Well, he's got to go get a job now. People are not going to just give him food. They're not going to just hand things over to him. Well, you're able to work. You go to work. It was going to be hard. I can imagine that some people would say, I appreciate that, Jesus, but I think I'll stay where I'm at because I like it here. I hadn't had to work for 38 years and don't want to start. You say, somebody would want to stay in that? Yep, sure would. They'd want to stay in those difficulties. Stay like this. Stay begging and looking for other people just to give them things and help them in their life. We've got to understand, we've got to be people that some people like to be crippled. Some people like to be where they are in the difficulties that they have and all the problems that they have to deal with in their life. They enjoy that. In fact, that's just normal for them. That's a normal life. Now, it's hard maybe for you and me to understand that, but that's a normal life for some people. But Jesus here asked him the question, do you really want to be healed? Do you want it? Do you want that and the consequences of that? Now, look at this. This is important for us to realize. We've got to ask ourselves, we need to be those people that we're going to be able to look out and see those things that can help us. We need the right outlook when we're in those valleys. You've been there before when it seemed like everything you did would not go right. Everything you did seemed to turn the wrong way. We've been there. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow every bit of that just to overcome us. And then we can just say, I can't get out. I can't change. I can't do anything. I can't do that. What we've got to realize is that there is a hope, and Jesus Christ is that hope. That's the hope we need to look for. That's the one that can help us to be able to get out of those things. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 33, in this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. He uses the word tribulation, and that's just a lot of trouble. You're going to have that. But look at what Jesus said. The latter part of that verse, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What's he saying there? I've overcome those problems. I've overcome those difficulties. And he can help us to be able to do that. Do you know any person who decides to listen to Jesus Christ can have their life changed? Any person that wants to listen to what Jesus had to say, their lives can be changed. The problem is, sometimes we enjoy our problems. Sometimes we don't think we can do anything else. We don't think there's any hope for us. There is hope for people. There is always hope. The problem is, I've got to give up my will for the will of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some things, as we see up here, that we need to remember, some of the trials when we're in the midst of those trials. First of all, we need to realize that these trials are temporary. These trials are not eternal. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, starting in verse 16 through 18. Listen to this, and what he's talking about here, he's trying to help these people to understand they're having difficulties, they're having trouble, but there's someone to help them. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. He said, we've got difficulties, we've got problems in this life. But we need to understand we have a power to be able to overcome those problems. Now, does that mean that all your problems are going to just vanish and go away? Not at all. You become a Christian, you're going to have the same problems when you come up out of the baptistry as you had when you went into the baptistry, except you're going to be a saved person. You're going to be a cleansed person because you've complied with the will of God. And then you have the power to be able to overcome those things. You have the power to be able to deal with those things. Then he says in verse 17, for our light afflictions. Do you think those problems that you deal with every day are light afflictions? I don't know about you, but sometimes those are heavy loads. These light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Okay, now, here you're in the midst of trouble. You're in the midst of problems. But these things are helping you. You say, wait a minute. I don't need any help. What I need is the problem gone. But we got to understand those problems that you have to deal with are usually the things that help us to be drawn closer to God. I mentioned a while ago, Paul said, when I think I'm the strongest, that's when I'm the weakest. When I think I can stand on my own, that's when I am the most foolish. Wisdom comes with knowing I stand with God. I stand with Him and I stand with doing His will. Now, look as he goes on here and helps us to understand this. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. He said, don't just look at your problems and your difficulties, but look at what it can be. Look at how it can be there. So here we're in the midst of these things. We're in the midst of these problems. We're in the midst of these difficulties. We've got to understand these things are not eternal, even though they may feel like it. There is a time out. There is a time when we can overcome those things if we're willing to do that. But we've got to realize that. Now, if we just say there's no hope, there's no way, I'm going to be in this for the rest of my life, that's when people take their lives sometimes. That's when people give up and quit. We can't do that. Now, the second trial here, a thing that we need to learn in there, we need to learn that there is a hope for us, that there is a hope that is so strong and so great for every one of us. Now, turn to James, if you would. In James, the first chapter, James 1, verses 24, 24, bleh, James 1 in verse 2. Listen to what he said here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Wait a minute. He's saying when you're in the difficulties, when you have these trials, when you have these problems, that you need to count it as a thing of joy? That doesn't set with me. The joy comes when the problem's gone. But he said you need to have the joy when you have the problem. Why? Look, he goes on to say here, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. There's something you can gain out of that. And you see, this is a part of it. When you're in the midst of that, you need to be looking around. When you have the problems of the difficulty, what can I gain out of this? What's the benefit in this? Now, if we're not careful, we just kind of look at the surface of it and say, there's no benefit to this. God doesn't love me. I'm in trouble. It's bad. It's terrible. Well, that may be part of it. But what you've got to do is to realize there is a hope that's there. There is a God that's there ready to help you, and this is going to help you to produce that faith. It's going to help you to produce a trust in God. Have you seen people that they face difficulties in their lives? And they learn to trust God even more. They've learned to show their love for God. Now, verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You're able to learn. You're able to trust God. You're able to depend upon God. You're able to be that person there that you're going to be willing to do that. These trials that we face, they're difficulty. They're difficult. They're hard. But there's things we can learn in that. We can learn a patience, because you have to learn that. Have you ever seen anybody that's never been to the hospital before? Never been sick? Not a day in their life? And then all of a sudden, they're in the hospital and they can't do for themselves. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to. I mean, you know, they can't help. It's great when you can help other people, but when you're the one being helped, it's not fun. Is it? Y'all still out there? It's not. I like to help others. I'm not real keen on others helping me. But we have to learn that lesson, that it's going to help these people to show their Christianity, to show how great it is. And that's what the writer's trying to say here. He's trying to help us to understand that. James is trying to help us to see that. Now, this is applicable in a lot of ways. Many people face difficulties. How are they going to deal with those things? How are those things going to help them in their Christian life to be the right kind of people? How are they going to benefit from that? They learn to trust in God. They learn to patience in God. They learn to depend upon God. Even in all the trials that we have to deal with, even in all those things, we need to understand that there are things ahead for us. We learn lessons there. And now, look at Revelation 21 and verse 4, if you would. And I'll just read it. You don't have to look for it. And God will wipe away every tear. Now, sometimes we think that's just in this life. It's not. It's in the life to come, too. But it is in this life, too. Because as our faith grows, as we grow stronger in our trust of God, in our dependence upon God, as we do that, it gives us a greater strength and a greater power. It gives us one that we can depend on, and we can appreciate what we have to deal with. We can understand that, and we can grow from that. We need to remember, without the valleys, there's no mountains. You take away the valleys, you can't have a mountain. So you've got to have the valleys to have the mountains, and we need those things. Now, remember, don't give up in those trials. And we've already said this several times. We don't need to give up. Listen to this statement. I really like this. What I do with it? It's here. Richard Nixon made this statement. Only if we have been in the deepest valleys can we ever know how magnificent it is to be on the highest mountain. You talk about a man who was on the mountain, in the valley, and finally got back up on the mountain again too. He faced the difficulties. He faced the trials. Somebody said, how could he go on? It's kind of like Paul. How could Paul go on in all the people that he put in prison? All the people that lost their life. How could he do that? I'm sure he had to meet some people and say, do you remember me? You hauled my mother and daddy out and they went to prison. And I was raised by a family over here. Or I was raised on the street. What could you say to somebody if they came to you and said that? Because of something you had done. Quit. Stop. Don't go. Don't try to be a Christian. Don't try to live. Don't try to go and serve God. Don't try to do that. Just go hide your head somewhere. No, you need to go on. You've got to learn how to do that. You've got to learn how to go on. Do you want to be healed? Jesus asked this man. This man wanted to be healed. He knew what it was to face the difficulties and the trials that he had in his life. He knew what it was to have to face all the things that were there. He did not enjoy being in this valley anymore, and he wanted to be out of it. Listen to this, if you would. Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 13. Therefore, our brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I hadn't made it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press, I go on toward the mark of the high calling of God. I don't give up. I don't quit. Paul was not a perfect man. He knew that. We're not. But we can allow our imperfections to keep us from giving what we have to God. And God does not look for perfect people. He makes perfect people. He makes mature people. Because of the things that we suffer, because of the things that we go through. Some people like to live in sin. We've got a jail ministry. And it could be one of the most discouraging things you've ever dealt with in your life. Because you see people, and you don't say, what is it in Hawaii they say? Not goodbye, but what? Aloha, I'll see you again. You don't say goodbye to those prisoners up there in jail sometimes. You just say aloha because you're going to see them again. And we think, oh, that's terrible. That's awful. That's awful. No, we try to do the best we can with what we have. But you see, some people have made their decision to stay down in the valley of sin. And whatever you do, and they may be encouraged to kind of walk up a step or two, and that's what we're trying to do. So be thrilled that we can do that and help people. And some are helped, some are not. But we do the best that we can. And so here Paul said, listen, you just keep on doing the best you can. You just keep on trying and you don't give up and you don't stop. We've got to realize that there's hope. We have hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. Without Him, there is no hope. This fellow was asked, do you want to be healed? By a person that could do something about it. He had the power to heal this man. He had the power to give this man a strength. Look at what this man did. He trusted in Jesus Christ and he was given a way out of the valley. He was given a way out of the difficulties, a way out of the troubles that he had to go through. We mentioned Psalms 23 a while ago, the valley of the shadow of death. How did a person get through that? How did they get through that valley of the shadow? They trusted in the Lord. You're with me. Your rod, your staff, it comforts me. It gives me strength. Here's a little lamb walking in a dark valley. The reason he can do that is because he's following the shepherd. And the shepherd is going to protect him. That's the shepherd that we have. That's a protection that we have. Jesus said to this fellow, rise up, take up your bed, walk. You know, it doesn't say in here the fellow said, wait a minute, Jesus, I don't have good legs. The fellow just got up and did what he was supposed to do. He got up and he walked. That's what Jesus told him to do. That's what Jesus asked him to do. Suppose that fellow had said, wait a minute, I don't want to walk. I don't want to get up. Even though Jesus had the power was there, they could receive that, they didn't want it. They turned their backs on it. You know what we're to do? Offer people opportunities to walk in heaven. That's what we're doing when we try to teach people the gospel. We're trying to help them to see what they need to do. Some are going to hear it and some are not. Sometimes we're going to be in the valley and we're going to have the opportunity to be able to come out. We're going to have the power to come out. But are we going to use that? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you have to deal with in your life. But we need to be the people who realize how that God wants us to come out and how God can lead us out of these valleys. God is there for the righteous. God is wanting to help those that are going to serve Him. He wants to do that. Listen to Psalms 34 and verse 15. The ear of the Lord are on the righteous. How are we righteous? Because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we're righteous. And His ears are open to their cry. He hears us. Now, look at this last thing here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Are you looking for heaven in the future? Are you looking for what God has to offer for you in the future? See, some people think this thing of heaven is all there is. It's not. We got a lot of things right now. Could you get through some of the things that you've got through in your life without knowing that the Lord was there and your brethren were there with you? I don't know if we could have. But here, He did not just come to save the soul. He came to preach the gospel to the poor, which was a great thing for them at that time. But not only that, He sent His Son here to heal the brokenhearted. Your heart ever been broke? You ever faced difficulties in your life? Jesus Christ didn't just come to save your soul. He came to help you to overcome those things, to proclaim liberty to those people that are captive, to take people out of the prison that they're in, and to bring them out and make them those people that are free. I thought about saying, any of you ever been in jail? But I'm afraid somebody might say yes. But I'm telling you, you go to that jail, and maybe it's the first time, and when you go through that door and you hear that thing click behind you, it's a little scary. But when you come out, you're thinking, I made it out of there. And you're there to teach a Bible class. The freedom that you feel that's there, that's nothing compared to the freedom of the people that have been there for a long time. What we're trying to do in teaching the gospel to others is to help them to have a freedom, to have a power, to have a strength, to be out of that trouble, out of those problems. To help them as they deal with some of these things and to be able to do that. We're able to give sight to those that are blind. Some people can't see a good way, they don't know a good way, but they can have a good way. And maybe you have to take their hand and lead them a part of the way to help them to know how to get out of there. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know if you're in a valley. I don't know if you're on the top of the mountain. I don't know if everything's going good in your life and you have no problems at all. I don't know. You know that. You got to decide. But I'm going to tell you something. There is hope. And that's the thing we got to rely on. There is hope from Jesus Christ that we can be forgiven of our sins. There is hope that we can deal with the problems in our lives today as Christians and we can overcome those things. And you just think about it. Have you seen people that have overcome problems in their lives? Hadn't it give you a courage to go on? A lot of times preachers start their sermons with things about people that have faced difficulties and been able to overcome. I used Nixon a while ago. We know that. Now, I'm not saying that he went through all that so that I could learn a lesson, but I learned a lesson from that. That you can mess up real bad, but you can come back. There is a hope, and we need that. There is a benefit for us, and we need that. Trust in Jesus Christ. Put your strength in Him. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to give your will over to someone else. But we've got to learn to do that. Didn't say you had to give your will over to the elders or to the preacher, but you have got to give your will over to Jesus Christ and what He tells you to do. And that's the struggle that we have in the world. Will people do it or will they not? That's a decision that all of us have to make. And we all make that. The song is to encourage us.